Professor Peter Lynham.
And how are you as we prepare to step out into bold new quarters?
Indeed, indeed.
Level two, yes.
We're actually, look, we're really keen on a good conversation. So we thought we'd call you because we know it's always factual and heavy hitting.
Yes, well, I want to know why religious people go for nutty solutions to political issues. And I'm particularly thinking of, I've been watching Brian Tumaki's videos over the past few days.
Is he doing like live updatey sort of stuff?
Yes, 3 to 6 minute little videos.
Okay.
Of his general thoughts on the world. And then this ties in with what you had, that Johnny had found. And we could have had an exclusive and been ahead of the play in talking about the, what was it, the miracle cure?
Yeah, miracle mineral solution, which I guess Trump had kind of touched on when he thought about looking at bleach to cure COVID.
But you found it first for New Zealand, and we should have talked about it before the rest of the media found it. But oh, no, actually, that's not true. The spin-off had it before you, but...
Where do you think John got it?
Here's this couple of examples that seem pertinent to us, but there's lots and lots more of religious people behaving in what seems slightly insane ways to crisis situations.
Isn't there a level of insanity to religion anyway, like the faith side of it?
Well, it's certainly true that in mental asylums, you will often find people with religious delusions.
A lot of people think that they are God in those places.
Yeah, well, I admit a lot. But it's certainly true that the numbers go up if you go to places where people are confined.
Right.
And it is really interesting because, in a way, a propensity to believe on faith almost invites you to act contrary to evidence or logic. And that's what seems to be happening. Now, the other side of it is also that religious people kind of like persecution. Do you know what I mean? That there's a certain sense that the world is evil.
Yeah.
And that therefore... We need to find ways that pitch ourselves against the forces of the world.
Yeah.
And so in the States, I mean, this has been a big issue in the last 4 or 5 weeks, as various churches have argued that their religious freedoms under the First Amendment are being trampled on by the government restricting gatherings. And we'll almost certainly have a flood of these concerns now, because the latest regulations, you know, they went from 100 and they've gone down to 10 as the group that are allowed to meet under these regulations. Now, under the 100, most churches would have probably fitted on that 100 level, and those that didn't could have just done multiple services. But clearly with 10, there's very little that you can do, and churches and religious groups are going to have to continue to meet online. Now, I've just watched this very striking video by Brian Tumaki, and it's about Jezebel. Now, the Jezebel is from the Old Testament, a queen from a non-Israelite source who polluted the true Israelites. And as I expected, a very, very clear link is drawn by Brian Tumaki to say that Jacinda is Jezebel.
How does she pollute them? Because she's babying out, and they're all like, well, what a babe. And then they're not doing their activities.
She introduced her false gods. And in this case, she's described as the architect of killing measures. So the killing measures are the abortion bill, the proposed referendum on euthanasia, the proposed referendum on cannabis, and sundry other pieces of legislation which are regarded as completely against life as Brian Tumaki defines it.
So Jacinda is the Antichrist, according
to... Yes, she is the Antichrist.
Okay.
It's pretty dramatic language.
Does he actually have a problem with Jacinda, or is he just trying to get some chats up?
Over the last 6 or 7 weeks, well, really, though, going back into last year with the new legislation, he increasingly tried to identify... he's always been anti-Labour. I mean, he had this tremendous run-ins with Helen Clark. But to turn Jacinda into this takes a bit more imagination than with Helen Clark, into the evil beast. Helen, with her, you know, sharp sense of perception and directness.
The thing is, I feel Brian Tarmacki to be a little bit satanic. So that's kind of weird how he's like so evil, but he's supposed to be like close to God, or, you know, like what?
Yes, the language can apply both ways, and I think there's probably
he's like a big dark, like, you know, he always wears like big dark suits, and he's like a big evil,
hair
slicked back, and, you know, cruising around on a Harley, you know, like bro.
What's funny, Peter, is he's happy to take a wage subsidy from the government, but then turn around and call Jacinda the Antichrist.
Yes, yes. It's quite
take the cash and rip the fingers and gap it on your bike. Hey?
Yeah, but I mean, this demonization, really, remember that you've just done a piece of demonization there as well. And you could easily be accused of, somewhere deep down, there was a racist element in your statement. And I'm pretty I'm not accusing you directly of racism, don't worry. But that's how Tamaki's always had a worse reputation than other preachers, because he's Māori. And similarly, I mean, his is clearly an anti-feminist statement.
He's loud.
Yes, yeah, true. But you see, Jacinda doesn't strike you as the normal kind of Antichrist. And in the end, she's a woman.
Yeah.
She's a woman, and that's what makes her Jezebel. That's what makes her so evil. So I think it's just having the repertoire of pejorative language that's part of the, unfortunately, one of the trends of religion.
Interesting.
That they label things. And as I say, the other thing is that people want to believe, and they need to have demons in order to coax them into thinking positive thoughts the other way sometimes.
Have there been any other really bizarre religious responses to the pandemic that have popped up on your radar, Peter?
Oh, yes. There certainly have been a number of other people in religious contexts who believe that they've had cures, mostly from the southern states of the United States. And some of these have been existing Pentecostal cures, some of them just faith, you know, that the Lord will not touch the people who believe this. And certainly some of the South Korean religious groups that have, been way off into sectarian styles have believed that they would be immune. And of course, the paradox is that now we know that when you sing, you spray germs further. And almost certainly this is why religious groups have a higher level of spreading the virus, because they sing close together.
Do you think the miracle cure sort of line is just hooking in people who are vulnerable?
Yes, of course.
Vulnerable, scared as well. Just fear. Yeah. It's the classic fear gets things done, man. I mean, look at the president of the USA, bro.
And tremendous... I mean, it's a combination of nervousness and desperation, I think. And I think the sense of desperation... of course, Jim Humble, what an odd name for this man with his mystery solution. He declared himself to be Archbishop of his religion, but it wasn't originally religion. It was just a cure to be sold to people. But increasingly, it became something that people believed in so greatly that all other associations failed. And you know, this is often the case with cancer cures as well. That people who are in great desperation and, it's a terrible situation.
False hope.
Sentence of death against you.
Yeah, it's just selling a false hope. It feels like there should be some kind of law against it. Well, but also, just back to Brian Tarmacki, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, how godly is it to call someone else a demon? You know, like, that seems a little bit like...
Yeah, that's right.
Not cool,
bro. Like, the Tarmacki style...
Somewhere in the Bible, it's got to be like, hey, bro, don't call that lady a thing, you know?
Yes, well, the Tarmacki style does not make a virtue of humility.
Right.
And the various Tarmacki subjects that he's been talking about in the last little while, there's a great deal on the need for everybody to be united, but it turns out they need to be united in following him.
Yeah, it's just...
Rather than anything else.
There's always a crummy little catch, eh?
Yeah, of course.
We're getting a lot of comments in here, but it's mostly about how it turns out Brian Tarmacki is the devil. And how ironic is that?
Yeah, yes, as I say, I think we just need to be careful about these sorts of associations. But, you know, this desperate focus on the Kill Bills and the atheist is a dangerous person... I'm just looking down at the titles he's been talking on.
Someone's just saying medical journals have updated since the time of Christ. Can Peter explain why the Bible never updates?
Yeah, but I mean, it depends how you read the Bible, doesn't it?
Because that's the problem, right?
That's the heart of the issue, that people presume that they can take it as a contemporary medical text.
There are a few updates, aren't there? Like...
There's superb contemporary translations.
Oh, really? Okay.
That enable you to... to kind of connect, but what you've actually got to do is take your head into that world back then and then do a process of what on earth would it mean for this today? You can't lift something from the ancient world instantly into the contemporary.
It's kind of cool to be able to sort of have a little swing on the metaphorical jungle gym, eh? You know, see all the different
things. That's right. Yeah. So, always challenging, though. Always interesting.
Right on, Peter. Such is this segment, mate. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next Monday.
Look forward to it. Okay.